The West Live.
The West Live
with Ben O'Shea.
Another massive night in the pool. Let's cross to Tokyo and a bloke who has been right in the thick of it. From 7 News, Matt Carmichael. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Ben. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. And now, have we ever seen this much excitement poolside and Olympics?
Oh, not for a long time. It's been a really, really special start, hasn't it, by the Aussies? And we're not very far away from another one with Ariane Titmus against Katie Ledecky today. There's a real, real buzz here at the pool. And who would have ever thought we'd be saying that someone else is a favourite for a race that Katie Ledecky's in? But Ariane's absolutely the favourite to win gold in the 200 freestyle here. Let's see if she can go and nail it like she did in the four.
Oh, yeah, she's just been absolutely immense. Just like Kaylee McEwen yesterday, an incredible swim. And in her post-swim interview, as we all know in Australia, she dropped the F-bomb. Are you thinking, geez, what are these swimmers going to blurt out next?
Oh, they can say whatever they want, I reckon. that's what we said. There's the new rule in Australia. It's called the Kaylee McEwen rule. You go and win a gold medal for Australia in the pool, you can do and say as you please, I reckon. That was one of the moments we'll never forget, and obviously we're not allowed to repeat it. I thought there should have been an amnesty on that yesterday as well, but anyway, that was absolutely a brilliant moment.
Well, a bit like Bob Hawke famously at the America's Cup, right? Any broadcast regulator who criticises Channel 7 for dropping the F-bomb in that situation is a bum.
Exactly. I think Griggsy came up with a great line afterwards as well, of course. It's the first time we've had an F-bomb and a C-bomb in the same race, because that was Emily Seabomb right there to support Kaylee all the way through it.
Yeah, one of the great calls. And Dean Boxall, the best celebration we've seen since Laurie Lawrence in 1988. You can understand how the coaches have just so much riding on these athletes, can't you?
Oh, yeah. He gave us the great line there with Ariane, that he's the author of her pain is the way he describes it. So the coach's job is to push them to the very limits of what they can put up with and cope with to get them to this level. And Ariane, they're so tight, her and Dean, and she's gone along with everything that he's asked and pushed her to do, and look at the result. And then you look at the bond that they've got now as two people. You can't get closer and something more unique than that, than the bond between a coach and an athlete and the way they've got it, can you?
Mm. And now, Maddie, I'm just so fascinated in what your job is. So you have these athletes at the peak of their performance, the peak of their careers, and you get them immediately after they finish, win or lose, and you shove a microphone in their face, socially distanced.
Yeah.
The emotions are palpable. Is it hard not to get swept up in it?
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. We've got a good setup here at the pool where they go to Nathan Templeton on the pool deck, and he does a sensational job with those live interviews. They're straight to Nathan. And then we're in a separate second position where they've had a bit more time to, often we get them, they come to us after they've got their medals. It's really started to hit them, and they've soaked up what it's meant almost by then. And the emotion is amazing. And obviously I feel like this time it's even more because of the build up to these games and the uncertainty and all the different things. And it is hard, and I try to have to hold myself together sometimes, because you feel it with them, and it's such a privilege to be there in a position, and I feel in a way that they share everything with us. And look at Kaylee McEwen, like her dad died last year, and she allows us to talk to her about that, and she shares her true feelings on that, and to speak to them in the way that we do, to share it with the people watching on television and listening on the radio. We're very lucky to do it. And it's a job that I take really seriously, because I think it needs to be done right, and it needs to be done in a way that the athlete gets to feel comfortable and share themselves with the people in the way they get to.
And I think that's one of the things that all of us here back in Australia are really loving about the coverage, those incredible backstories, hearing from the athletes, their inspiring stories. Like in the surfing, we've got Owen Wright bouncing back after a major head injury to become an Olympic medalist.
Yeah.
It's, as you say, it's such a special thing. What else has really stuck out for you so far in the games?
I just walked out of the media centre and saw watching that women's four win a gold medal on the screen, and the things that they've had to go through to get to these games, that they're spread out from all over the country. So a lot of the time last year, they couldn't get together. The border closures, even before that, they had to up and relocate the entire team with all that bushfire smoke that was in Sydney. they've had to move around so much, and it's been so hard for them to get here. And you know how hard rowing training is. It's just to see those girls win that gold medal just then, and that finish line felt like it was never going to come. I was watching it next to a Dutchman. They beat the Dutch. The Dutchman turned around just then and said, "The new awesome foursome," and that was awesome. That was really cool. And then, just keep your eyes on Saya Sakakibara in BMX in the next couple of days. That's going to be one of the really, really emotional stories of the game. Obviously, her brother Kai was meant to come and do it with her, and he hit his head and had a brain injury last year. He's in Japan, can't go to watch her race, but yeah, that's the story we're going to tell a lot on Channel 7 over the next couple of days.
And we're only 5 days into it. It's really incredible. You have to pinch yourself. And now the huge...
You've got to pace yourself. Too.
Yeah, that's true. And now the huge news over here, of course, is not in the pool. It's Simone Biles' withdrawal last night. And now we know for mental health reasons. What are you hearing on the ground over there in Tokyo?
Oh, it shocked us last night. We were at the pool, and our position at night, we're upstairs, and the NBC, the American NBC Today Show are right next to us. And that we saw some activity going on, and that really shocked America. It shocked a lot of people, but it's also the understanding of the pressure that Simone Biles carries. I don't think there'd be nearly anyone in the world who would ever understand what she goes through. And she has been pretty open. The sad thing that I read only about a week before the Olympics was about what she was looking forward to. She was looking forward to it being over and going on holidays, and she said she felt she had the weight of the world on her, and I admire what she did. She just said, "I can't do it," and there's been so much love and support for her, but yeah, it's a shock, and she is one of the absolute greatest athletes we've ever seen. So we hope she's okay, and hope we get to see her out there again, because the world just loves to marvel and admire at what she does.
Mm. And I think the important thing to remember is it's not like a 100-meter sprint where maybe if you're not really feeling up to it, you can force yourself to run down a straight track for 10 seconds. The sort of events that she does, you know, there's a very real risk of breaking your neck.
That's exactly right. I wouldn't have a clue what it's like to be able to do what they do. And, yeah, and it's so dangerous. You've got to be so on. And, yeah, she made a great decision, I think, Simone, and... I feel like some leadership from people like her and Naomi Osaka and some very powerful sports people who are showing that it's okay to be vulnerable and it's okay to say I'm not feeling great. It's changing things. I feel it's going to lead the way for a lot of different people, you know. And it might show the public too. Don't be so harsh on them when they don't win or something. It's not all about that.
Mm. Well, in saying that, now let's talk about the pool today, because we do hope it is all about winning for the Aussies. What events are we going to be watching in the pool today?
Oh, it's absolutely Titmus versus Ledecky. It's coming up very, very soon. If Ariane can win that, this is one of the huge achievements in an Olympics. If she can win two gold medals, but also to beat Katie Ledecky twice, because no one had ever beaten Katie Ledecky until Ariane did it in the 400. So. That's the first medal race today. That'll just follow the men's 100 semis. Also, we've got Kai Melverton and Matty Goff in the 1500 freestyle final. But that's Katie Ledecky again. That makes my eyes water. She's racing the 200 final. About an hour later, coming out and racing the 1500 as well. So we get to see the American absolute legend go twice. And also the men's 4x200 relay. I think the Brits are going to be very, very, very hard to beat in that, but the Aussies are right in with a chance at a medal. Hopefully we'll see Kyle Chalmers come into the team. He didn't swim the heat last night. Mac Horton will probably drop out. He really struggled in the heat. But, the Aussie men in the 4x200 freestyle relay, hopefully another medal for them too.
Mm. Matt Carmichael from 7 News, we're loving your coverage on the telly. Keep up the great work, mate, and we're super excited about what's ahead. Thanks for being on The West Live.
Appreciate it, Ben. And just to say, we're all noticing it from over here, the support from back home for the athletes, but also for us. It's been fantastic, and we're absolutely loving every second of it, mate.